Why do we say, I slept like a baby, when babies wake up every 2 hours? Is searching for a new laptop online forcing your current computer to dig its own grave? And when we yawn, do deaf people think we're screaming? All these questions and more on the Abnormal Matters Podcast.
How in the hell do you come up with these?
I look up a lot. I do the funny shower thoughts, and a lot of them are just thoughts, but then I just kind of twist them into questions.
Dude, they're so great.
But I always got to get a deaf one in there. Seems so.
There was no poop this time.
No.
I'm very disappointed
in you.
Yeah,
that my bad. I'll work on it and get back to you.
It's either death or poop.
Yes. So welcome back, folks, to the Abnormal Matters Podcast, episode 38. And this episode is an interesting one, at least for me, because I've heard about this and we've talked about this on the podcast before, but we really didn't go in depth. And when I started going in depth on this topic, it was like, what the fuck is this? So the episode is The Black Knight. And we will definitely get into more of that. But we have another person here with us, and my one co-host, Ian. And we have
Rachel.
And we have our special guest,
Ashley.
And Ashley is a friend of the family. Since we moved down to South Carolina, we've met a lot of really cool people, and we just kind of added them into our mix. They're kind of cool.
Yeah, just and I kind of wanted to get nerdy and be on the podcast. So it's like, please pick me.
I mean, tell them a little bit about yourself. Start at your birth.
No, I am a mom of four, and I have three boys and one girl. That's how me and Rachel know each other. Yep. Dance moms galore.
Woo-hoo. Yep.
But we're not like Abby Lee Miller dance moms. That's frightening.
We're the type that
tailgate at competitions. You know, we might have a foul mouth, but we're good people, and we like true crime and abnormal things and conspiracy theories and all the fun things.
Sorry, guys. Hold on one sec. All right. So, sorry, interruption with the doorbell. But, so, of course, we always want to give you our science news of the week. Rachel, what did you have?
I have a great one this week, although when I was putting it into a format where I could actually read it, I forgot to put the name of it. However, let's just get started. A new study that has looked at how far signals from NASA probes have reached into the galaxy has found that the earliest we could expect a reply is 2029. Insane, right?
Interesting.
The team looked at a number of probes sent by the U.S. Space Agency, including Voyager 1, 2, Pioneer 10, 11, and the New Horizons spacecraft, and how far their transmissions have propagated. The team then used Gaia.
You got it right.
Catalog of nearby stars to discover which stars they will encounter and when. These transmissions have encountered and will encounter other stars, introducing the possibility that intelligent life in other solar systems will encounter our terrestrial transmissions. By determining which stars Voyager 1's transmissions will encounter, we identify places where possible intelligent extraterrestrial life would encounter terrestrial transmissions and potentially return transmissions towards the Earth.
That's a lot of terrestrial transmission.
Yeah, that was like a tongue twister.
I was waiting for Jesus to be like, gah!
I know. Transmissions from Voyager 1 launched in 1977 and won't reach their first star until 2044.
Holy cow.
And will go on to contact 277 stars by 2341.
Yeah, we won't be around.
No. Signals from Voyager 2 have already reached an M dwarf and a brown dwarf, both in 2007, but the earliest we can expect a return signal would be 2033.
So, okay, so you just ended your sentence.
Yep.
But I have a question for you, because I've actually heard that they would be getting stuff when we started broadcasting, and the very first thing that we broadcasted doing radio transmission was the Olympics.
In 1936.
With Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, I think...
When are we supposed to be receiving stuff back from that?
It talks about...
Okay, they're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Could it even be earlier? Yeah.
Yes, but We'll get to that, okay. And then we can discuss. So transmissions from Pioneer 10 have already encountered a star, not naming it out because it's literally like 16 letters long, in 2002, where an advanced civilization living around the white dwarf, we could get a reply as early as 2029.
Basically, if there is anyone living.
Right, right, yeah. Okay. While we'd be incredibly lucky to get a return signal from the first star system we signaled by the mid-24th century, the probes will have contacted hundreds of stars each, bumping those odds up. This is a famous idea from Carl Sagan, who used it as a plot theme in the movie Contact. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that movie?
Mm-hmm.
I have not.
You've never seen Contact?
I have not.
I saw it a long time
ago. I don't know if this is going to work out.
I'm sorry.
Friendship over. The end.
But in the movie, aliens receive one of the first TV transmissions sent around the world, the opening of the 1936 Olympic Games. Aliens then send this signal right back at us, meaning that the first contact with alien intelligence was slightly complicated by them sending us videos of Adolf Hitler. Thankfully, we don't have this problem. This wasn't a first broadcast, of course, but it was at a high frequency that might make it through the ionosphere. However, it would have to would have been very low power and a non-directional antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that aliens might pick it up is pretty far-fetched. So basically, they're confident that the surrounding planets of the encountered stars will also encounter the spacecraft transmissions as the beam travels farther into other stars. This radius will only grow, showing that we can assume that all of the planets orbiting each star will also encounter the spacecraft transmissions. So
I was hoping for a multifaceted, like, we're kind of putting this out in one general area, and we hope we hit multiple things in that area.
Right.
Well, from what I've heard, we've stopped doing that. Huh. They don't do a lot of what SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, based out of OSU. And they...
It always has to come back to Ohio State, doesn't it?
I guess. I don't know. But back in 70s, 80s, 90s, they were doing this and they were blasting out. Hey, here we are. But I think they've kind of changed their idea of maybe we don't want to tell everybody where we are. Maybe we just want to...
Do you think that was also like the end of the heyday for the... Like, you've got, like, the 40s, 50s, 60s, when all those alien things were happening with Roswell and Blue Book and all these things. And so everyone was like, oh, there's more out there. So they're, like, just bombarding, trying to get stuff out there. And like you said, now it's kind of like, maybe we should take a step back. Because if there is something out there, we don't want to create mass chaos or just sheer pandemonium because, oh, my God, we're not alone.
Right.
I mean, we saw how it was on... Independence Day, right. When it comes across in the movie and all, everyone's standing there going, ah! And they're like panicking. You got the ones that are panicking, you got the ones with the signs.
Well, what if they want to just take over?
Yeah.
I mean, what if they're not hospitable? What if we're like the dodo bird?
Yeah. You know what I mean? We're going to be extinct. It'd be a story.
We don't know any better, you know? And then here comes these explorers and we're like, who are you? Hi. And then you're just walking up and then you get...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happened to the dodo bird.
Yeah.
It didn't have any predators. So when we showed up, they got extinct. Cause that's why they call them the dodo bird.
Yeah.
They're
like,
right,
hey, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Yeah. I'm here. Nice party.
Nice to see you. Welcome. Welcome.
But in the whole grand scheme of things, and not only that, the transmissions that we're putting out there, who knows if they're doing even radio frequency.
Correct.
What if they've gone on in their technology? Like they're...
Yeah, because I'm sure, like it said, there was stuff that was sent out there in the 70s, I mean, obviously in the 30s too, but we're so far advanced nowadays in the technologies that we have. Like you said, it could be not radio frequencies. It could be something we've never even heard of.
Right.
Yeah.
And
you know, the government doesn't like to tell us their secrets.
Maybe it's maybe the civilization that's out there and we're expecting them to catch our transmission. maybe they've moved on to quantum entanglement communication.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
yeah, and they're not outrageous. Even catching on even to like, the things we're sending
it'd
because
be like
it's
us
so superior.
Hearing a Morse code.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like, what the fuck is that? You
right.
know, we don't listen for that.
Or you don't even realize it until right. later when someone happens upon something. They're like, wait, what is this?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I think really, honestly, the chances of our signals getting out there to somebody that can actually, if it's an advanced civilization, the mm-hmm. chances of them replying back or even receiving that transmissions are low.
Well,
or
and the other slimmer, thing yeah. too is the people who are putting things out right now are not going to be alive when results could come back.
Right.
So who's to say these programs will even be in existence then to look for a response?
I mean, look in the last 20 years,
yeah.
who has a CD anymore?
Right. And maybe that's why they're slowing down too, is the people 1936, you know, and so, and further, or hopefully this will reach and we'll get some kind of feedback from it. But us now, we're like,
but if there's nobody listening for it, then
right.
how do you know
what's
they're
the
responding?
Point? Right.
Right.
So you it's
know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, people are going to, you know, be looking somewhere else. Like, oh, we're looking in the deep fathoms of the ocean for signs of things. You
yeah.
know, we're done looking in this heavens. You
yeah.
know, like,
yeah, we're done with Delta
we're done
Quadrant.
With this.
We're moving over here.
We're going
like
into the
years.
Mariana
yeah.
Trench.
Yeah. We're going to deep, we're going to see how deep we can go. And
we're going to get the Megalodon out for
yes.
sure.
Some creepy deep water. Fish.
There's some scary shit down there.
Oh my god, I know. The pictures and things of the things that
like
will
that
eventually
one with the
die.
Thing
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Like
the light on
the
front
yeah.
of the Dory.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And we haven't even gotten to the bottom. That's the thing that fucking scares me. What is down there?
Well, you know, like these animals eventually die and they float up, and that's how we know that there's creepy stuff down there because they find these bodies and they're like, where
oh,
did
and even
this
if
come
you,
from?
Even if you were going to try to study one of those things, light is not hitting them. You bring
yeah.
them up and
they
and
then
die.
The light hits it or it's starting
yeah.
to decompose and you're like, what is this?
But and by the time they make it to the surface, they're completely transformed because of decomposition and all that
and
stuff.
And the
pressure.
Light finally
right.
hitting on the change in pressure.
Right.
I
yeah.
mean, it's a different world. It literally is a different world
right.
in there just from the pressure
right.
itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it would smash a can in no time.
Yeah.
Which is why we can't get down there.
Nope.
You know, the Mariana Trench, like you were saying, Mariana Trench is taller than Mount Everest.
Yes.
Yes.
It's
you
like
can
10
fit
miles
Mount Everest in it with another mountain. I can't remember which one it is, but I heard it. Like you put Mount Everest down in it, and then you put another mountain on top of it, and it all of them would disappear.
Yeah.
That's
it's crazy.
What's down there?
What the fuck is down there?
All the secrets. Transformers, duh.
Right.
No, that's Antarctica.
Isn't that where they dumped them?
No, Antarctica.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it Antarctica?
Well, it depends on which one. Which movie. In the one, they dump them down in the trench so that no one can... Yeah, they take them out into the... they're on the ships and stuff, the aircraft carriers and stuff, and they take them out there and they dump them in.
But wasn't there one, too, where they were, like, digging in Antarctica?
Yeah, and they were frozen in the tundra or something.
Yeah. There's some shit to be seen down there, too.
For sure. Well, good science news. I'm digging it.
And it kind of segues into what we're
going
to talk about with
exactly.
space and not knowing what something is.
I know. I'm really good at segues now.
Look at you. You're so fancy.
So, yeah, like I said, today's episode is about the Black Knight. And when we're talking about the Black Knight, we're talking about the Black Knight satellite.
Not
Batman. The movie.
Not Batman, not the movie with Martin Lawrence.
Right.
The Black Knight satellite.
When you Google it, it pops up. Black Knight satellite conspiracy theory.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun.
So, some people say that this is just space debris. Or is there something more mysterious to it? You know, it's... I've seen, like you were saying with the conspiracy theories, that there's been numerous reported sightings of the Black Knight satellite, both by amateur astronomers and astronauts alike. You know, maybe many claim to have seen a dark metallic looking object, and here's the kicker, in a polar orbit around Earth. A polar orbit.
Okay, explain.
Okay, So, the ISS, the International Space Station, it's flying around Earth.
Correct.
It travels with the Earth as it rotates on the on its equator, right? So, you know, the Earth's axis is tilted at 23 degrees, and it's going as the Earth rotates. And
she's in the Earth's gravitational pull.
Correct.
To guide
so less fuel being used, because all it has to do to keep that trajectory, as soon as it starts falling a little bit, it just hits the jets, and it keeps that steady orbit going
around.
It's like
he's in the jet stream here. You use less gas, and when you're flying a plane, if you get into the winds...
Correct.
They push you.
Using that gravitational turn, and it keeps on that kind of like a slingshot going around. An orbital north-south orbit is very hard to pull off.
So that would be the polar.
Polar. You're going from the north to the south. North, south. And you're not using the Earth's rotation to easily propel yourself around. So, one, you're fighting the gravity of going left to right. Right. So, and then you're also trying to push going north and south, not using the gravity.
So there's some kind of propulsion that is.
There's a major propulsion.
Right.
And it has to be
major.
Well,
yeah, because if this was just space debris, as a lot of NASA experts.
All of that flies this way.
Yeah. It's like it's not flying this way, because if it's falling down that way, it's going to hit the Earth's atmosphere and it's going to disintegrate.
Yes.
Or burn up or whatever.
Yep. So there's another thing about it, though, too, because everything has mass. So they, and I'll kind of get a little bit into it with the 1950s story of the Black Knight. And so they first detected it back in the 1950s.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a backstory behind it, too, to where it almost supposedly created a war between the U.S. and Russia.
Because they thought it was a Russian satellite.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, shocker.
Right. Yeah, they are starting to do their satellites and, you know, Sputnik and that kind of stuff, the beginning, the birth pangs of space exploration. And they see this Black Knight up there, the Russians do. And they're like, it's the Americans!
They're spying on us!
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, the Americans are like, it ain't us!
It ain't us, you rednecks! It ain't us, rednecks!
So they're going back and forth, supposedly. And it almost started a war, but when they collaborated on it and shared their information, they found
out. They realized, wait a minute.
This thing by scale should be about 15 tons, the way that it is shaped.
So what are the dimensions?
I don't remember the dimensions, and I didn't have it written down. But 15 tons at that time, neither U.S. or Russia had the capability of shooting 15 tons up into space. Their max capacity was like a ton or something like that. So then that finally kind of backed everyone down from the red buttons at that point. Yeah. You know, like, okay, we know it's not
doing anymore. We're not shooting off the rockets at each other.
Yeah. So that was kind of a little of a conjectural story about that.
So one of the things I kept seeing over and over and over when I was researching it was they keep referring to it as a 13,000-year-old satellite.
Yes.
Where does that number keep coming from? If the first time it's being noticed is in 1954 or whatever it was, and we don't really know that much about it, it's going in a polar orbit, there's a guesstimation on how much it weighs, it's metallic looking. Where is this 13,000 years coming from? Is this old, like, ancient prophecies? Is this old ancient, we just saw something in the sky and it was documented on papyrus or whatever? Like, where's 13,000 years coming from? Because I couldn't figure that out, but it referenced it multiple times whenever I was reading, and I was like, did you just pull this number out of somewhere and you just want to make it sound cool, like, oh, this has been around forever?
I have a theory on it.
Okay.
I think going with the 13,000-year-old theory is nowadays, if we were going to explore somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Say, even just Mars, right? We didn't just slap somebody in a ship and send it out there. What did we send out there?
A rover.
A robot, a satellite, something that is going to be able to report back.
If there's Martians. What's happening here?
Right.
Yeah.
So with the ancient theory, and what kind of ties in with that north and south orbit, is 13,000 years ago is roughly where they're saying that the cradle of the Tigris-Euphrates civilization is starting and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense. Noah's flood supposedly happened at 13,000 years ago, and it's the rebuild after that. You go through all the different ancient civilizations, and they all talk about the flood about that certain time, about 13,000 years ago. So tying into that, if we were to, and I'm just looking from the human eye, right now we're having better telescopes, and yeah, we can start seeing planets, and we can start using different types of infrared and blah, 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 right, to be able to see, is there any kind of heat sources, or is there any kind of certain gas getting put off? Because, you know, when you look at Earth and you do it through the lenses, you
see all kinds of different things.
Right. So
different gases, different heat signatures, different.
Yeah. And if there's a civilization, like, oh, that's a,
there's oxygen versus, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Different things. So yeah, you could see, like, that's a good possibility that there's somebody there. So let's say, and with always, we talked about different civilizations. It doesn't matter if there are different civilizations out there, it's where they're at in their technology. So they could be thousands of years ahead of us, right?
Yeah. So when they sent something, we were in ancient times.
Right. Yeah. So say they sent something just to watch us, just to see, which kind of ties in with a lot of Sumerian culture of their gods.
Yeah.
Which led into the religion with the Egyptians. Ra.
Yeah.
The symbol of Ra is the eye.
Yeah.
Right?
All-seeing.
The all-seeing eye.
Yep.
You even said it. I was trying to get it out of you. The all-seeing
Sometimes
eye.
Sometimes my brain's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm getting there.
Ding! Light bulb.
If you were to want to survey the whole Earth, would you want to have a pattern of orbit going like the International Space Station? Or would you rather have a north and south where as you go around, the Earth rotates
so you're this way
so you can get a full graph?
Makes sense.
The all-seeing eye.
The all-seeing eye. You see everything. So my middle son.
Hold on. Pause for a second.
Pause.
So this is what I was doing and being so quiet. So 13,000 years ago, they're saying they've seen this. But we have documented cave drawings and such from as early as 9,000 years ago of otherworldly beings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not hard to grasp that 13,000 years ago,
something happened.
These beings were seeing something, or these people were seeing beings, you know, around and then depicting them.
For sure. I mean, it comes down to, you know, one, it's all conjecture, for sure. You know, it's all hypothetical. It's all what if. But is there some truth to what ifs of the past? You know?
I think
100%
that all stories originate in truth somewhere.
Yeah.
They change over time. They may be fabricated, elaborated on, embellished because it sounds better. But somewhere,
you gotta have fish stories.
Is a bit of truth that starts or sparks something. Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't just pop out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so you talking about the orbit and all that. Like my middle child, a couple years ago, you know, pre-pandemic, we went on a field trip to the telescope down at USC Aiken. At the college down there, they have a planetarium and all this stuff, and they do all these really cool things. And they made all the kids stand around, and they were different positions. And then they made this big Earth, like, so that they could understand, like, how the Earth turns and where our seasons come from and how the Earth is turning, but it's orbiting the sun and all this at the same time. And it was, like, really eye-opening because you're like, ah, duh. Duh, that's why you get the seasons. And that's right. So that makes a lot more sense. Like, if you're going around this way while the Earth is turning this way, you're getting, like, this full scope of the entire
hit record.
I wish y'all could see my hands of just this circling. I look like I'm over here rave dancing.
Yeah. All you need is some glow lights.
I know. It's like a party.
But, yeah, that would make the most sense to me. And that's my theory on it. To where it's like... Going north to south, you would get a full picture constantly of what's going on.
Top to bottom as the Earth spins.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, and I think part of the problem, too, is that one main photo that they put out on the interwebs, everybody's source of every factual piece of information ever.
Oh, my God. Did you see it on Facebook? It must be true.
Right.
So this one... And I've already posted this one on the Facebook group.
How my parents used to always say, don't believe everything that you see. And now it's like, Mom, because you saw it on Facebook, it's not
doesn't mean
true.
It's real. It's, yeah.
My parents did the same way. My mom will share something on Facebook and I'm like,
nobody here.
Facepalm, or my younger sister, she can't help herself. She'll comment on it and be like, Mom, this is not true. Or Mom, this is from like 5 years ago. Right. Yeah, like.
You do not have to share a disclaimer that Facebook cannot use your photos. Like, stop. Right. Stop.
Yeah, you already consented.
Right. So some of them, I mean, this one looks like a man in a cloak, right? It could be a man in the cloak, legs, and like a jet thing. And almost, I don't know.
But I just think it's funny. Okay, so Ian brings up the first reported sighting of this thing orbiting the Earth was in the 1950s. But the government in 1998 tries to tell us that it's a piece of the International Space Station.
Right.
Like the heat blanket that came off of it. And I'm like, okay, but you saw this in the 50s.
Right.
But now in 1998, you're like, oh, it's... No.
So, but check out this one. I had to...
It looks like a witch flying on a broom or something.
It looks like an aircraft, though, because you've got the wing and the tail.
And doesn't it kind of look like the symbol of the Eye of Ra?
Oh, yeah, because it's got that really long...
Yeah.
I like your conspiracy theory.
But even like this one, a different view
of it.
Yeah,
that's from the top. It looks like a ship.
Yeah. Right, and almost like a jellyfish, kind of like the shit you would see in...
what movie
The Matrix.
That? No, there's another movie.
The Twins? And The Matrix.
There's another alien
movie. Is it The Matrix?
It might have been a Netflix show I watched, but it was about space and stuff. And the
craft was coming across. In the real world. And those things are looking like octopus squid kind of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for validating my suspicion.
I was just like, jellyfish in The Matrix?
Jellyfish? What?
It's the closest thing I could come up with. I'm sorry. But... I think that they're only, the main photo you see of this is to support that it might be space debris.
Yeah.
And to force that on people. This is space debris. This is what it is. But if you understand anything about gravitational pull, it would be impossible for this to be a piece of space debris defying all odds. It makes no sense.
There was another story about, did you ever hear the, or see anything about NASA trying to catch it?
And they couldn't catch it.
They couldn't catch it. It moved.
Well, they go out there with a big, giant fucking Bugs Bunny net?
Like on the space shuttle, like the arm thing?
Yeah, the little thing that comes out to grab.
It was like, gotcha, bitch! Yeah. Psych! Yeah.
But as they tried to get closer to it, it changed position. Here's the biggest thing. Okay. And let's just say, for sure, 100%, this thing is alien and it is watching us, right? Do you want to fuck with it?
Hell no.
Like, let me. It's like.
Do you want to poke it and see what it does?
Let me poke the bear.
Or do you just want to let it watch?
Yeah. Let me poke cocaine bear.
Yeah.
Let it watch some hairless apes do their fucking soap opera.
Right.
You know, and watch as we grow in our technology.
Telenovela.
It's like if it's been here for 13,000 years, it's waiting for us to evolve to a level
type civilization.
Yeah, they're waiting for us to evolve to technology wise to a level that they feel comfortable interacting with.
Right.
Have you?
I mean,
I've talked about on the podcast a lot. Do you know about Carl Sagan's levels of civilizations?
No. Okay. I've not. So, like I told you earlier, I went back and watched the episodes, listened to you and Rachel, and then I've gone back to the beginning of the podcast. So I haven't gotten very far in your old
podcast. I'm gonna ask you this question real quick. So if I were to throw out type 1, type 2, and type 3 civilization, what would you say we were?
Two or three.
We're not even a 1.
Seriously?
Yeah. On the grand scale, we're at like a 0.7.
God.
We're not even a 1. So a type 1 civilization has grown in their technology to be able to control everything on their planet. Everything. Fossil fuel.
We're almost there. You said we're 0.7. We're almost there.
Right. But they're able to, it's all about energy consumption. So they're able to harness all the energy on their planet. That's a type 1.
It's like we're just on the cusp, you know? Like
right. Type 2 civilization is able to harness the power of their solar system.
Oh wow.
So they're mining shit in the asteroid belt.
In other places. Yeah.
They're pulling hydrogen off of fucking Jupiter because we just want to do a mix of hydrogen helium and make more balloons. I don't know.
They're doing what John Hutchinson was doing that nobody's letting him continue to do.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if his technology would have kept going, that would have leaps and bounds.
Us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So now here's the kicker. The Type 3 civilization is a civilization that can harness the power of their galaxy. The galaxy is their sandbox. All right?
That just blows my mind.
Right?
But so, if you think about it, like you said, we're like a 0.7 out of 1. I mean, and how much we've come technology-wise even in our lifetime.
Over the last 100 years.
Yeah, like
leaps and bounds.
It's crazy.
Michio Okaku is a physicist. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen him on TV or anything. He's like a Neil Tyson deGrasse. You know that name?
I know the names, but
the
I'm
black
not...
gentleman that's a physicist.
He's also really, really
he's
funny.
Really good. I mean, he's brilliant, but he can dumb things down for people
so they understand. You know?
He's like a liaison for scientists to the peasants,
right?
You know, for them to understand, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Michio Okaku is the same way, and he explains things really, really well. And he was talking about the different civilizations. And at the point of, he basically calculated out in about 500 years, we'll probably be at a type 1.
Yeah, because I mean,
about 10,000 years is when we'll be at a type 2. Just the way that Moore's law happens with technology.
But it took us how long to get to 1? How many years to get to 1?
Oh, from here to get to 1, from a 0.7 to a 1, it'll be 500 years.
No, I mean from the start of time.
Oh, yeah.
13,000 years ago when everything started over after a flood.
Yeah.
So we are getting better, but
Look at us go.
We cut down on the time frame.
But I mean, think about it. That's like the biggest thing that the world is pushing for is clean energies, being able to harvest the sun, the wind, the water to run everything. I mean, we're trying to, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, everything was like a nuclear race. We were building nuclear power plants left and right. I mean, my dad worked in nuclear power for 40 years almost. So, I mean, that everything was nuclear. And then, you know, with all the issues over the years and stuff, they've been like,
maybe
we should take a step back.
Yeah,
because
Chernobyl happened.
Well, not even just that. If you Google the amount of quote unquote nuclear disasters, because there's levels of them that have happened just in the United States, there's like a whole list of them. Like Three Mile Island's like, whoa, that's our big United States big nuclear disaster. But I mean, there's tons of them that happen everywhere. The plant my dad worked at had a couple. I mean,
or even just a catastrophe happens, like on Japan with the tsunami.
Yeah. Right.
And then the meltdown happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's too uncontrollable.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're doing the things that need to be done, you can contain it. But as soon as something, because we're humans and we're trying to, we're trying to control it. As soon as something messes up and then something isn't controlled just right, it goes from this to this in like no time, and you have no control over the process that comes, the meltdowns and the stuff that happened, the partial meltdowns, the release of radiation. And I think as a country and as a society, we're starting to realize maybe this isn't the best idea.
Right, because it's not a regional problem. Because if something goes awry, it's global. Right, and it goes really bad,
when it's global. Chernobyl happened in 1986, and once they were like, oh yeah, we were finding readings of radiology in the United States. That was the reason the United States was like, something's happened. Because, you know, Russia wasn't putting it out there. Right. Soviet Union wasn't putting it out there. You know, we just had, and they were even in denial. They weren't putting it out there that they just had a full nuclear meltdown where the core completely exploded and was laying on the ground. And the rescuers that were trying to help was like picking things up going, wait, is that the core of the reactor? No, that can't be. And then like 3 days later, they're dead.
Right.
Yeah. Like, no. So our country, our society is really focusing on trying to get to a point, you know, we have electric cars. You know, when we went west last year for our vacation, you know, we were driving through Texas. There's windmills everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. we were completely blown away.
Yeah.
By, I mean, we almost drove off the road a few times just from being like, whoa.
You can't help but look at them.
Yeah. And then I forgot where we were at, but there was like the solar panels, just acres and acres and acres of solar panels. And like, hydroelectrical dams, like, okay, you run some power off the water going through the dams. I mean, there's so much more. But I think, like you said, our country, our society is slowly getting to those things. And it'll take another 500 years. But you can't change the complete mainframe of a society in, you know, 10 years.
Right. Well, you kind of, and what you kind of sparked a thought in my theory, or a different theory that they have out there. Governments hiding shit.
Oh, I always
do. So, what if?
What if we have received?
What if this is a secret military project?
Yeah. Or what if, you know, going back to Rachel's whole science thing about the probing and stuff like that? What if they have received stuff back from the 1930 transmissions and stuff like that, but they don't want to tell us what they received?
Yeah,
because, you know. I don't trust the government at all when it comes to stuff like this.
Well, look how long it took them just to release UFO videos and stuff, like from the Air Force or whatever, or even just under the Freedom of Information Act. There's so much stuff that they're still holding back because...
Oh, they black out everything.
Right, and redact it and stuff. Well, but you know, I think it would cause a mass panic and be detrimental to...
And I didn't even feel...
The whole topic.
I always felt a little like this, but like the whole going into like... aliens and other things didn't go even more like crazy for me until last year when we were in New Mexico. We went to Roswell. We went to the UFO Museum. And it's not just about the Roswell incident. There's a huge thing about the Roswell incident, but there's just stuff all in it about first, second, third, fourth encounters with aliens and just what classifies each. And there's like these documented,
they have the categories, stories of, races of the aliens.
And they have these documented stories of these things, pictures of these people, and they're telling their stories. And then there's other, and I'm like, Then they have government information where, like you said, things are blacked out, but some things are not blacked out. And you read the things that aren't blacked out and it makes you go, well, if that's not blacked out, then
what is
the blacked out stuff say? Because, I mean, I always thought there's more life out there. But after going there, I was like, maybe, you know.
Was it Brad last night that said something? Oh, Boomhauer said, you know, we'd be really stupid to assume, and Ian and I have said this before, that we are the only life forms in the entire
universe. I've said this to y'all before. I am religious. I work for the church. Yes, I believe in the Bible. I believe in creation and all that. But we can't be the only things he created. We can't be the, you know, maybe maybe God has done this multiple times. He creates societies and he's a creator. You can't just tell me you create one race. And why would we have this infinite galaxy full of planets and all these things.
People don't understand if we were going to be infinite.
Yeah. If we were going to be the only people.
Infinite is the scariest word in the entire vocabulary.
It really is.
People, one, you can't fathom it.
And right? You can't chart it out. You can't, like, your brain, you're like, and I'll be lucky if I live 80 years.
And there are, did you know there's different infinites?
No, I don't want to know. No, I'm just teasing. Stop!
You are going to break her over here. She's going to be like,
and it's not like the, you know, the old childish thing. Oh, yeah, well. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to do it like infinity. And I'll do infinity plus
times
one.
Times two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not that. But there are different infinites, and it's very strange. Want to burn one?
Yes, let's burn one.
Okay, we're back. But more on just the satellite itself. So if it is gathering information.
Right.
What are they trying to gather? And like you're saying, maybe they are looking for us to reach that level of intelligence or even just sophistication in our society to be able to...
To where we're worth it to them.
Right, exactly. Because it's like...
right now you're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, blowing each other up, destroying the planet, you know, like...
I don't see that getting any better.
We're not mature enough to be on their level. Yeah.
Going to Interstellar. What if their time is different from ours? So they've been out there 5 minutes, but we've been out here on our planet for 13,000 years.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't like the time travel, like if you're going a certain way, it's going to take us so long to get there. But if you have the right amount of boost and energy coming the other way, it's going to be less time.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just your simple
mechanics. Like,
that's,
if you have yeah, thrust, yeah, yeah.
You're going to
so,
make
like,
it
if they're coming.
But what she's talking about.
But, like, this
about,
time change.
Yeah, but what she's trying to talk about is time dilation.
Right. Have you ever seen the movie Interstellar?
Yes. That's the one where it starts in the dust belt kind of thing, right?
Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
Yeah. Where he goes in outer space.
And it like loops around and he comes back and he sees.
He doesn't age, but everybody else ages around him. What if this is
that? Movie blew my mind. Like, yeah. I would need to watch it again because
we watched it high as fuck one night. Yeah. It was so good.
Because I would have to watch it again. Because I remember when I saw it, I was like, wait, what?
Well, time is different. Even just in the solar system, we can see that time is not the same on the planets.
Right.
If we were to plop down on Mars and start, the time.
The way the Mars orbits the sun is different than the way.
It's about the gravity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About the size of Earth has more gravity, so time is different here versus on Mars where it's smaller, less gravity. So time dilation happens. And, you know, if you get near something that has a huge amount of gravity, your time slows down.
What was that movie with Matt Damon where he's stuck on Mars for like...
Surviving Mars?
No, it was an Andy Weir book, The Martian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like that.
Yeah. He's like on there surviving and everything.
On potatoes and shit.
Yeah, and when he gets back, it's like... Not even the same time.
Well, technically, anybody that we send up to the International Space Station
doesn't age the same.
We've sent into the future. Technically.
You just blew my mind. It's exploding.
Very, 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 very minute.
You've broke me.
Of like, you know, 1/1000th of a millisecond. But because gravity is different.
In space, away from Earth,
they have traveled into the future. It's the same. It's the conundrum of so say you have two twins, and you have one that stays on Earth.
Two twins or just twins?
Just twins. Sorry.
A set of twins.
Yeah.
Two twins.
Pete and Repeat.
Four kids.
Okay.
Pete and Pete. Remember that show? Well, on Nickelodeon in the 90s, and the one who had the mermaid tattoo.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. But Pete and Repeat. All right. So Pete stays here on Earth. Repeat becomes an astronaut, and we have the technology to be able to shoot him out at 99% of the speed of light. Okay, and he goes out for a whole 2 years, just straight up, and then turns back around and comes back 2 years, right? So grand total, he's gone for four years. His time.
Yeah.
His time. His twin has aged 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because of the speed.
So
this is amazing. So it changes cell degeneration and all that.
Everything. But it doesn't, though. It's just
because
it slows it. Yeah.
But they're still technically the same age, but they're not, because he's only been gone 4 years. When he comes back, his brother's aged 10 years, and he's only been in space for 4 years. So do they look the same anymore?
No,
because they, yeah. So,
in effect, his brother is 6 years older than him.
Mm-hmm. You're not twins anymore. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is going to shut down in a minute.
So what if... So what if the Black Knight, let's go with this thought here. What if the Black Knight, okay, we finally reach the point of its observance or whatever it's doing, whatever kind of thing it's collecting, and then it sends it, right? Well, what if it's to the bad? Yeah. What if it's like, all right. They're ripe for the taking.
I mean, have we ever seen an alien movie where the aliens come to visit us for good reasons?
Never.
Can you think of one?
Alf. An alien movie? Except he liked to eat cats. But
yeah, but he
but he was dropped here
to live among us. Like, yeah, he wasn't. Solo. But like any of these movies, shows, whatever, when the aliens are spotted and they're coming to Earth. They're not coming because they want to just, like, hang out, guys. Hey, we want to meet our neighbors. Hello, here's a pie. Welcome to the solar system. No, they are there because they want to harvest something from us.
Right.
Or they've blown up something or ruined their own civilization, so they're ready to start over.
Or they want to enslave us, yeah, like the Sumerians.
And since we're so young and dumb in the great scheme of civilizations, apparently...
Or just time in general.
They can just take us over. Just do away with us and be like, hey, here's our new planet. Yeah. Goodbye.
Harvest us for energy in pods. Again, going back to the Matrix, we're all living in pods. Yeah. Harvesting.
I haven't played the Matrix in a long time.
And I have to go rewatch. I think that with if it is a higher technology and what we're starting to dabble in now in science, I think that if it is a satellite that is here to just do recon and then send information, they've got to be using quantum entanglement. Do you know about quantum entanglement? I'm not going to get deep into it, but...
Probably not.
So, quantum entanglement is... And it's proven that electrons, right? You got your protons, neutrons, electrons. Mm-hmm. Electrons, and we have proven that there are different parallel universes through electrons because they go in and out of existence.
Yes.
They pop in and pop out. And so when they pop in and pop out, that is the quantum entanglement. So if you were in theory... able to take an electron and split it at that simultaneous phase in and phase out.
Yeah.
Send that other opposite but same thing of that same electron and send that other particle of it millions of light years away, right? Whatever you do to that electron here is going to happen to that electron instantaneously. No matter the distance.
Because it's a part of
because
itself.
It's quantum entangled. Yeah. Yeah. So
it is itself.
Yeah. I mean,
that is a tongue
twister. We're starting to make quantum computers. No, we are.
Yeah.
And that entanglement is happening in a computer level starting right around, I think like 5 years ago, they were like, we made it, we did it. But I think that they would have to have some type of technology to have instantaneous reports.
Yes.
Because of the sheer distance of any kind of civilization that's out there.
So I think we could all agree that this is not just space debris. Obviously.
I don't think it is.
I don't think so either. And the other thing
And I don't think we should poke at it.
No. And the other thing that sparked up for me too is, who's to say that they've not been interjecting, or this thing's sole purpose is to interject with the society to prepare us, right? Because there's all kinds of conspiracies and theories around how ancient civilizations came through and built the pyramids. And just evolved at the pace that they did. So who's to say that this specific one or any kind of other civilization hasn't interjected to project us to being taken over or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I just can't get on board with it being space debris. Because, I mean, that's already debunked itself, because you said the first reported signs of it that we, as a modern society, were able to get on camera and or satellite images or whatever and get were in the 50s. But then in 1998, they're like, oh, it's just, you know, a heat blanket that came off the International Space Station. No, like.
And why would it be that big? And why would it be going
north, south?
And a heat blanket. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking blanket. So I'm assuming it's like sheets of metal that like cover. Right. And it's going to look like a sheet of metal.
Right.
Like, because in space with gravity and stuff, it's not like a blanket that's just going to ball up like into a ball. Like, it's going to come off and it's going to stay the way it is. And it's right. just going to float.
It's going to be a fucking sheet.
So you can look at it and be like, that, yeah, that's a big sheet. That's a big sheet of metal, a big heat blanket or whatever from that. And it would have been documented at that point. They didn't even mention that this had come off until people started going on about, you know, the Black Knight again. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, no, that's just because we had this incident where the heat blanket came off. Like, no.
Some of the conspiracy theorist people are saying that, they're trying to tie in Nikola Tesla.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. I had literally turned to that while ago. No, but doesn't everything always come back to him?
True.
I mean, I like literally all the podcasts that I've listened to that you've done, there's in some point in it, Nikola Tesla is drug into it.
Yeah.
Because he was way ahead of his time.
Absolutely.
Genius. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're going to be like, they say the, hold on, let me find it. So, you know, his radio experiments in 1899, mm-hmm. they're saying that, so some people are saying that that was like communication with the Black Knight, but mm-hmm. then people try to debunk it and they're like, no, that was just pulsars,
right?
Just random pulsars from the atmosphere. And he just happened upon it, but yet they haven't been able to record it since. So was he just that smart and intelligent that he could grab that? Be able to
receive that frequency?
Or was that really what it was?
Right.
I mean, because if you think about it, 1899, 2023, technology is like this, like way more advanced. So how could we not have caught that again? Unless he was really catching something from this blanket.
Do you see what happened? I just rotated the picture.
It looks like a ship. Because the other way, it looks like... Yeah.
It looks like a ship facing downwards mm-hmm. towards yeah. Earth. Yeah.
But, so they, to me, when it's turned the other way, it looks like the knight piece on like a chessboard or yeah. something. Like it, the way it comes up or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's going straight towards Earth.
Yeah.
That way.
It's just fucking weird.
It's weird.
And not a lot of people know about
no,
it.
No! Because, so when I was... doing my research. I told you I was very...
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they do. But I was super busy with some other things, so I was trying to print some stuff off so that I could read over it later and know what I was doing. And one of my coworkers walked in, and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm doing research because I'm going to be on a podcast this weekend. And she was like, what are you talking about? And so I said it to her, and she looked at me like I had four heads.
Right.
And I was like, I mean... but it's out there. They've seen it. Where did it come from?
There's pictures.
There's pictures of it. I mean,
Pixar didn't happen.
Yeah, like, yeah, Pixar didn't happen, but I don't. It's been said 1,000 times. We'd be dumb to think we're the only people who live in the infinity of space that there is. And, absolutely. You know, I think we can all agree that it's not space trash.
And I'll add,
because if space trash, if I'm not wrong, eventually burns up in the Earth's atmosphere.
Eventually it
that's
burns
correct.
Up.
Yeah. So it's not something that's going to be orbiting since, what was that, 1950...
1950s, we'll just say.
Yeah, 1954. So like 2 years after my mom was born.
Right.
She's 70. So 68 years ago, it would have burned up in the Earth's atmosphere by now if it was just space trash.
Right.
And it wouldn't be going the way it's going.
Exactly.
That right there, you got me on that.
Yeah.
When you explain the polar orbit instead of the regular Earth's axis that everything does, I was like, I'm sold. There's something else going on there.
Something else. It's weird.
There's something else going on there. Even if it's not alien, something is going on
right.
there.
But
even, I mean, like you said earlier, could this be our government doing something that we don't know about because they're running an experiment they don't want us to know about? Okay, maybe.
Well, not only that, but okay, think about that north-south, right? And think about all the junk going this way.
Yeah, lots of junk.
And it avoids it.
Yes.
As it goes
because,
in that orbit.
So
then, and how come there's no real pictures of actual space junk? Like, I just Googled this. Everything you Google around the Dark Knight or the Black Knight is, it's space junk. But when you Google space junk, all you get are created infographics regarding it. There
Where
are
it
no,
is.
Right,
it, right.
Right. There are no actual photos of, oh, this is a piece of space junk to compare to this.
Yeah, this is a piece of the Discover, whatever. It broke off and it we lost it when we were trying to do whatever. Because all that's supposed to be accounted for, right?
Sure.
Any mission they go on while they're doing something, if something doesn't work out the way it's supposed to work out or something breaks off, it has to be recorded. So all that stuff's recorded, correct? Yeah. This is not recorded. This wasn't even mentioned until people started bringing it to light. And then they're like, oh, no.
A lot of times, and I can kind of answer a little bit about why you don't see space junk. Let's just take this candle, for example, right? So something that far up, traveling how fast?
Right.
And you try to snap a picture of it?
It looks like a shooting star or something, like something crazy, or you can't see it.
Or even when you try to take that shot, you have the Earth in the background and the light refracting. That's why when you see a lot of pictures of when they were on the moon and stuff, they're like, where the fuck are all the stars?
Right.
Well, it's because of the light hitting the moon, it causes so much light
exposure. How did they photograph this?
Exactly. So that means that thing is huge.
So
you just proved my point.
Yeah,
exactly. That means it's huge, and it's just sitting there, and it's like dun. It's like the Death. It's like the Death Star. It's like dun dun dun
dun dun dun.
As it like slow, it goes around. But so in some of my research, there was this woman, Alice Gorman. She wrote a book, The Doctor Space Junk versus the Universe. And one of her quotes, when she's referring to the Black Knight satellite conspiracy theory and all that, is, it's astonishing that there aren't more conspiracy theories about stuff in space. She says, it's really difficult to see details on stuff in Earth's orbit, even through really high-powered telescopes. So when you can't see it, then you can imagine anything about it. So why aren't there, like you said, more theories about all the crap that's already up there?
Sure.
You know, I mean, like you said, this thing has got to be huge then. If you can take these awesome pictures,
right?
You can change the rotation of it like you did, and you see that it looks like a ship. But like you said, space junk, the little pieces that break off of things, like she said, we can't see it.
Yeah.
The Earth's reflection, all these different things, you're not going to see this tiny little piece that broke off of this, that, or the other.
Right.
Space junk, like with the International Space Station, space junk they got to worry about when they're going around.
Because they're
going
to hit it.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know how fast that shit's flying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the Earth's rotation itself is 1,000
miles per
hour.
Can you imagine that impact of a car accident?
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, they have to worry about the space junk, but then when the Black Knight's coming around, it at some point
really has to be concerned.
Yeah.
Because it's going into the traffic.
But yet it's never hit any of that stuff.
There's and it is still fucking there.
Right.
It is not a space blanket.
And if it was space junk and got hit by other space junk, it'd that would change the trajectory of it.
Yes.
Therefore, probably making it crash.
You know, physics and shit. When things hit each other, they change course. You know, like something happens.
Yeah.
An object doesn't just stay in motion if something else hits it.
Yeah.
It changes.
You don't clip the end of it and set it flying. It.
I think we're being observed like a zoo exhibit.
Oh, fuck yes. We're a bunch of fucking animals. I mean, just watch us at the pool one weekend.
If I'm going to go with the theory of 13,000 years ago, like you said,
where does that number come from?
Folklore and that kind of stuff has a little bit of truth in it.
Yeah.
Maybe that is the depiction of, in the Egyptian religions, of the Eye of Ra. And it sees everything. And that's the way they depict it. He sees everything on Earth.
Right.
Yep.
And there you go. There's your eye in the sky, the big brother.
I'm like trying to Google a picture.
Would you like to use my computer?
No, I have a phone.
Don't touch my computer.
No, because I just think it would be one of those really cool things to like compare it. Like,
the all-seeing eye?
Yeah, if you post it to like Facebook and stuff, like you should see how the shape of it. Turn it again, like you did earlier.
I have to open it here.
I need you to do this. Because you said it has like that oval shape and that tail that sticks out. I mean, hello.
It should have been recording our screen the whole time so that way you could see what I'm doing.
But that's the good thing about having Facebook and stuff. You just post these pictures. Like, look at that. It's oval.
But even if you turn it like,
yeah, you got the tail sticking out. I mean, just saying.
Not saying, just saying.
Coincidence much?
Look up an Egyptian bird.
Egyptian bird?
You know what I'm...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. With the headdresses that they used to have.
But the very pronounced, like,
beak. The bird god?
Yes. Osiris?
Horus.
Horus.
The falcon-headed god, similar to ancient.
Look at how that beak is. Like, it looks like it has a beak.
Yeah.
So what if...
The falcon.
What if they're...
That's what they used to always do.
Bird god is based off this.
Isn't that what they call a lot of planes anyway? Falcons and just different, you know, fancy names for high-tech planes.
It's a fucking bird. It's the bird god.
I am the bird god. I am free.
That's not how the song goes.
Would have been some really great intro music for that god coming in Egypt.
Right.
That's hilarious.
All right. Well, hey, we're getting to our hour mark here.
Yeah.
It looks like we're going to have people interrupting.
But, kids, you can't do nothing with them.
No.
No, I think there's more behind the Black Knight than what we even know. I think some of the conspiracy theories are pretty dead on of what they're thinking.
Is it really a conspiracy at this point?
I mean, it'd be a good idea to keep an eye on it. Yeah.
Don't go grabbing it, though. Don't touch the butt.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah. Don't touch the butt.
It'd be cool to keep an eye on it because guess what?
The butt.
It's got an eye on you. I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no rocks. Well, hey, Ashley, I appreciate you doing some investigations, looking weird with your friends. Because you're investigating that stuff.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I hope you'll have me back.
Absolutely.
I mean, what are we going to do when Rachel moves? You're going to put her on FaceTime right here and be like, yes, ma'am.
I mean, I'm sure you can probably pick my laugh up from California on this microphone when you turn it on.
For sure. For sure.
But we have something really cool coming up next. I'm really excited. Two weeks. We have another awesome interview coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So excited.
Yeah. We're not going to give the deets, but it's going to be a good one.
Yep.
You can always catch us on Facebook. Rachel is manning that now, or I should say womaning that.
I'm okay with manning it.
Okay. Yeah. She's manning it right now. I need to, you always need to be PC
in
this world.
She's not a feminist, like...
Check us out on Facebook, the Abnormal Matters Podcast. You can always get a hold of us. And, if you have something in mind that you want us to dig into, something odd, strange, weird, follow up on the Abnormal Matters abnormalmatterspodcast@gmail.com.
Send us your stories, too, if you have some awesome stories to share about anything we've talked about or even outside of the realm. Anything abnormal.
For sure.
Send it in.
We'll share it. Give you props.
Yep. Bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
We are the weirdos, mister.
But, all right. Well, appreciate you listening, and we're out. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bye.